Good to see you.
On the Lord's Day, they could take honor the Lord. Thanks for having me here again this year. I really appreciate it coming. And I look forward to it every year with longing, I think, about it. And I said before, it's a privilege to be in such august company, and I don't say that glibly. Your citizenship is of heaven. I know that. God's lambs and sheep, and here I am standing up here, you know. It amazes me. Like I said, if I was my boss, he would have fired me a long time ago, but he still has me here. So I'm grateful that he does. And thank you so much for having me. I had a great time. excuse me. we're going to consider the gospel together by God's grace. Now, if you want to read along with me, just turn, first of all, to a little, for two verses. This is a small reading in Hosea chapter 12. Right after Daniel, of course, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. And chapter 12. Now, this is referring to Jacob and Esau and their birth, which we're going to look at mainly. Hosea chapter 12 and verse 3. He, that is Jacob, took his brother by the heel in the womb and by his strength, and he had power with God. Verse 4, chapter 12. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. I just wanted to point it out. There he spoke with us. That's God. God's talking. And so we're told the angel of the Lord was God. We don't understand these things. But he found him in Bethel. There he spake with him. So Jacob, actually, God is in human form. And he wrestled with him. Literally wrestled with God in angelic form. And we'll look at that. And just draw gospel truth. I mean, it's a very rich, rich portion, full of teaching. But I want to look at it in the light of the gospel. Genesis chapter 32. And we'll begin reading at verse number 24. Verse 24, Jacob 32. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. When he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh, that is, the angel said. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, This is the angel, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day. Because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. God bless the public reading of his precious word. There's a mission, I understand, still active in New York, called the Water Street Mission. And I'm not sure how long ago this was, but Jerry McCauley was involved. Maybe he still is, I don't know, but he was preaching. And one of the men who was coming nightly was staying on board a ship that was harbored in New York City. And he was troubled.
And God was speaking to him each night. And he sat down. It was a very special time for this man. I don't know what his name was. So one night in the meeting, Jerry McCauley could tell by his very countenance, his face changed. He could tell that he was saved. And sometimes you can. You know, you look at somebody and you see them nodding and smiling. Every other night they were looking sad, and now they're smiling. It's sort of a little indication, perhaps, that they got it. Well, such was the case. And so he asked him, he said, "Tell me how did you come to understand and believe?" And this is what he said. "I'll tell you. I went from here to the ship, into my room, and I locked the door." This is where he stayed on board ship. "And I just made up my mind never to open it until I was saved. And I kept my word." Anyway, that's how you get saved. All alone with God. I have to get all alone with God. Maybe there's somebody here and you've never had that experience. And that's why you're not saved. You notice how it opened. Jacob is left alone. You have to be left alone. Nothing to do with my family. Nothing to do with my friends or my co-workers or my neighbors or anybody. Even my wife or my husband. Has to do with me and God. I have to get alone. You can get alone with God right here in this room. You don't have to wait until you even get home. If you don't get alone with God, you're never going to be saved. We had gospel tent meetings, as we normally do each summer. Grateful to the Lord for these doors He opens in the St. Stephen or Brunswick area where I live. Or throughout the province, I've gone different places with the tents. This particular place, it was in Kingston, and I was there for my brother, who's not a Christian. He may be now, I'm not sure. But at any rate, I was thinking of him. And I asked his wife first. She's not a Christian either. But if we brought a gospel tent over, you know, in the field, you think my brother might come? And she said, probably would. I said, okay. So, you know, I talked to the oversight at our home assembly and prayed about it. Went over and God opened the door. You always know when God opens the door. You were wondering, you know, scratching your head, lying there white at night, wait, you know, wondering. You always know. When you're a Christian, you always know. God opens the door. So I was delighted to be there. I didn't know what was going to happen, but I knew I was in the center of the will of God. And when you're in the center of the will of God, you're a very happy man, very happy woman. You know, yeah. No other place I'd rather be than right here, where God wants me. So we were taking the tent down the last night. God blessed. I mean, I think there were 7 souls professed to be saved and real, you know, genuine and beautiful. This is the last night. Now, my brother David came out several times, but he never got saved. And his daughter was coming out, 2 of his daughters in their 20s. One's married. At that time, they had 3 children. Her name was Sarah. And we're taking the tent down, taking the sides down, chairs, and the same people are still inside the tent. And somebody said, "Sir, I want to talk to me." Well, I went over to see her, you know. And I said, "Yeah, you want to talk to me, Sarah?" And she started crying. She was crying already. She kept on crying. She said, "I'm worried." I said, "What do you mean you're worried?" She said, "I'm worried about Chad, you know, her husband, Mom and Dad, and Jolene, my sister." I said, "What are you worried about?" She said, "Because they're not saved." I said, "Are you saved?" She said, "Yes." She's still crying. I said, "Well, when did you get saved, Sarah?" She said, "Tonight, during the meeting, I got saved." So she's all alone. You know, tent, the rest of them, you know, maybe, I don't know, 60, 70 people in the tent. Sarah was all alone. Sarah and God. And that's the place you've got to get to. That's the place the devil doesn't like people to get to. I remember Bruce Springsteen, one of the songs there in his Darkness album, he says, "I'm riding down Kingsley, figuring I get a drink. I turn the radio up loud so I don't have to think." We don't like to think. That's why we turn the radio up loud. That's why when I go jogging now, I just don't go jogging and enjoy nature. You know, I got things in my ear. You know, I got music being pumped into my head. So I don't have to think. I'm used. That's what a muse means, not to think muse. May God bless you this morning. May you think. May you get all alone with God. Jacob was left alone. Literally, he was all alone. I saw Tarsus. He had soldiers with him and chariots and everything. But he was alone. He had an experience where he was all alone with God on the road to Damascus. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, Acts 9. And suddenly they're shouting round about him. In Acts 22, he says, me. He's telling the other version. Telling me. Not the others. See how he's talking here. Soldiers all around him. No, this light shines on me. I'm all alone with God in a crowd. And a light from heaven. That's the gospel. We do hope you understand this morning. If you're here and you don't have a personal relationship from God, you're in the right place at the right time. Because what's coming forth from this platform is a light from heaven. It's the gospel. And it'll never change. Never. The light is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, this morning you can have a life-changing, destiny-changing a decision. You can make that decision this morning. May God bless you. Light from heaven. And he says, as he fell the earth, and then the other portion, he says, as I fell the earth, and heard a voice, it was the voice of God saying unto him, me, I am Jesus, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? So, see how personal it is. Saul, Saul. God's speaking to Jacob. Not the other soldiers. Saul. Saul's all alone. Light shining on. He hears a voice. He's all alone with God. That's the place we have to get to. Maybe that's why God brought you here. I hope you will consider that. This isn't another ordinary Sunday in August. No, it's not. This is a special day. This is a day God wants His Son to rise upon you. Just like it did in Jacob at the end of the chapter. Think about that. If you're not saved, think about that. Maybe this day is all for you. Everything's for you. You know, all the week of children's meetings, all we've gone through is for this hour this morning, for you. God brought you here. You're in your sins. God speaks to you. You know you're in your sins. You're so convicted, the right where you sit, you repent of your sin, and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What a marvelous day that would be for you, and for everybody here, and the angels in heaven too. Remember in Mark chapter 7, and they bring unto him one that was deaf, and they beseech him to put his hand on him, the Lord Jesus. And that's what it says, and he took him aside from the multitude. Took him aside from the multitude. Even those that were saved in a multitude with Christ, a miracle, portrayal of some beautiful picture of salvation, they were alone, you know. Remember, they're all touching him, Mark 5. People thronging, pushing up against him. And he says, he says to the disciples, who touched me? And they're in amazement. They look at each other like, what does he mean, he touched them? And people have been touching him for hours here. Well, it was a special touch, wasn't it? Some dear lady who had faith. She said, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be healed. I know it. That's how you have to come to Christ, by believing. He does love me. He's calling me. He is. Believe it this morning. He's calling you. So she goes up, touched the hem of his garment. That was a different touch than all the rest. She was all alone with the Lord Jesus Christ. All alone in that moment. He knew it. Virtue went out of him. The lady was just healed. And when she speaks with them, it's her. It's just God and her. And she's all alone. And same with this man. Such as death. God takes him aside. So, these are just some very practical spiritual truths that I'm seeking to bring out with God's help from this portion here. And he was alone. I read about these two workmen, very, very tired from work over in England. And they got on the coach. You know, they took the train back and forth to wherever they worked. And They got in the first coach they came to. They were relaxed, you know, on their heads back. And the porter came along and asked them to move to the next car up. And they were very disturbed. They said, "Why can't we just stay here?" He said this, "You can stay there if you like, but you won't get anywhere because you're not linked on anything that matters." You know, it wasn't linked with the other coaches. And, you know, and the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is this. Basically, you've got to be linked to Christ. You personally have got to be linked to Christ. He's mine. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my God. I know Him. Of me, He says, "I know my sheep. I know my sheep, and they know me." That's what salvation is. Now, if I don't have a personal relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm trusting in myself, and I'm a pretty good living person, I know a lot of people like that, and they don't like to hear what's being said right here from this platform. And they are rather disturbed. A little disturbed. That's why they don't come up to gospel meetings, or they think they're okay. And they hear a message. No, you're not. You're not okay. Your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, God says. My heart. You're going to trust your heart. Well, I feel like everything's okay. What do you mean you feel in your heart? You feel you're saved in your heart. You feel, so therefore you're just going to die on that platform, on that foundation. I feel God will accept me. Friend, if you've never had an experience, if you've never been born again, converted, saved, repented of your sin, trusted Christ, then as you sit here this morning, things aren't well with you. Because you're not linked to Christ. No small thing. That's the most important thing in a person's life. Because that is the reason we're put here. For that moment to happen. I am linked with Christ. I come as a sinner. I bow the knee. I'm gracing of my own. And I'm born again and I'm saved. Now I have fulfilled the purpose for which God placed me upon earth. It wasn't to get all the pleasure and fun out of earth that I can get good jets or whatever. No, it was for that reason. What's God doing in the earth? He's building a church. That's what He's doing. He's tending His church. But at the same time, He's adding to His church every day. I will build my church. That's what He's doing. So if you're not saved, then if you can say, "My life is Jesus Christ. My life is Him." Basically summed up, my life is Him. Yes, it's Him. Now, can you say that in your heart? I mean, be honest with yourself. Who do you seek to please every day? Yourself or Him? That'll give you, if you're honest with yourself, that'll tell you and you'll know. I don't think I have any love in my heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I get lots of head knowledge and I can stand and preach. But down here in my heart, no, actually, there are other things in life that I really adore more. I don't even think of Him, actually. That's the place you've got to get to, and that's disturbing. You have to be disturbed out of your comfort zone if you're ever going to be saved. There's a period of pain. It's painful. It is. It's conviction of sin. I'm not enjoying myself as much as I used to. See, with my buddies, I'm doing this and that. I'm speaking kind of personally. I wasn't saved when I was 30. But I went through this time, period of pain in my life. And God was dealing with me, and I thank Him every day that He did. He was dealing with me about my sin. He was kind of like showing me myself, a revelation of myself in His eyes. You know, not in my eyes. I was looking subjectively at myself. We do. So God gave me an objective look at myself. And it was painful. I didn't like the man I saw in the mirror at all. To wrestle the man with him till the breaking of the day. So Job said in Job 43:16, the Almighty troubleth me. You know it. That's the same word. Wrestled, troubleth, it's the same word. The Holy Spirit uses the same word. Prior to salvation, period of pain. The Spirit of God convicting a sinner, young or old, personally of their sin, of their shortcomings, of your alienation from God. As you never pray, you never read your Bible, you don't love Christians, you don't love God's people, you don't love God's house. You don't love to walk along the road with a hymn book in your hand all by yourself and sing praises unto my Savior, the Lord Jesus. You probably can't even relate to that if you're not saved. Your whole life is out of whack. And the longer you stay in your sins, the worse it's going to get. Believe me. You might think right now, maybe there's somebody young here, I've got my life in control and in order. Well, maybe you do right now. I'll tell you something. On the authority of the Word of God and some experience, your life's going to get way out of order. You're going to know pains. And you're going to know what sorrow is and trouble and disappointment. And you're not going to have anybody to lean on. Because you don't know Him. Christian life isn't one of, oh, isn't life just wonderful every single day? It's not like that. We don't expect it to be like that. But we have a wonderful Savior. And we have strength. We draw from Him. He gives us joy in spite of sorrow about me and all these things. But you grow up without Christ. You just let this message just go over your head again. Perhaps as you did other times. You go back home again. That's what you're going to expect. I just want to mention that God does speak to your heart this morning. Don't think it's a small thing. That is a miracle in itself to me. God would bring you here and speak directly to a sinner. God's Almighty to you. And why? Because He loves you so. That's why. He wants you to hear Him. He's bringing on a conviction of sin. Because if you never get to the period of pain, you're never going to get to Christ. Job said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. Job 42, 5 and 6. But now, mine eyes seeth thee, wherefore I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. That's what God has to give us first. It's a revelation of ourselves as we are seen of Him. And then He'll be pain. He'll be a period of pain. An Irish landowner owner was visiting in Dublin. And he dropped in to see an old schoolmate. Somebody he graduated with and hadn't seen for years. His friend went on to Dublin and was a banker. So he just dropped in unannounced. And there he was. You know, he changed, but he recognized each other, and he invited him in. And so he's sitting down across from his friend, the banker. Now, his banker says to him, how are things doing in Kings County? That's where they went to school the other. And then the reply was this, having lots of good times. See, this man prospered. He said, we're having lots of good times down there. Horse races, dances, fox hunts. He'd been on, you know. And his friend, the banker, was listening to him. He said this. That reminds me of a wise man's words in a little book. I said, oh, really? He says, here, I'll read them to you. He pulls the drawer. Oh, the little New Testament. And he turns over to Ecclesiastes 11:9. And he reads, for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. That's all he read. And he just looked. His friend didn't know he was a Christian. His friend suddenly had to go home. He had to leave. He felt very uncomfortable. He felt disturbed. He's back in the train, he's back home. He didn't sleep for 2 nights. All he could think of, for all these things, God will bring me into judgment. He had a period of pain. Next thing you know, we had a train going back up to Dublin. Went to see his friend the banker, and the pain ended with that happy result that he trusted Christ as a Savior. Now he's put to the test, didn't he? Jacob, man, he has really put the test here. The angel is saying, you want a blessing, really. That's like someone saying you want to be saved. But God says, do you really want to be saved? You see, it's only those who long to know God with all their heart who find Him. It's only those who seek Him with all their heart who find Him, agonize to enter in. Few there be, he said, that find me, because they don't want me badly enough. They don't. So, Jacob is put to the test. The angel says, let me go, for the day breaketh. This is over. You know, this wrestling in the gospel, my convicting you of sin every day, it's all gone. It's all, yeah. Enough. Enough. What did you think? I was going to convict you every day all your life? No. Billions of people in the world. So the angel says, let me go. The angel knows. Of course, we know that. This is God. God knows. But it's here for our benefit. It's here for our learning. Let me go, for the day breaketh. What he's saying to Jacob is this. How badly do you want God's blessing and salvation? How badly do you want it, Jacob? This is a test. And it pictures a sad time in a person's life. It's a dark time. God dealing with me. And it's going to come to a climax. It's either going to be bless me, or I walk away. And one of these times, I would just like to say solemnly to you young people, someday, if you never get saved, you're going to walk away for the last time. He won't speak to you. That's the climax. It's come to a climax. Did the person say no? I will not let thee go until thou bless me. Or did the person simply walk away, go back with their friends and into the darkness? Mark chapter 6, and he saw them, the disciples, toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, it's dark. It's dark here, wasn't it? It's always dark. Darkest just before the light. It's always darkest in a person's life just prior to their salvation. It's the same. A troubling time. So here we have the disciples in the ship, toiling for rowing, big storm. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea. We just read that and go on. How marvelous is that? A man, dressed in ordinary clothing, walking on top of the tempestuous sea. There he is. And it says this, and would have passed by them. He would have kept on going right by them. But when they saw him, they cried out. That's what he wanted. That's what he wanted. That's what he wanted to hear. They cried, that cry. Lord, save me. Lord! Where are you going? Don't pass me by. Have mercy on the Lord. That's what he wanted to hear them say. One more example from the scriptures. Luke 24. The two of his disciples walking down the road. Going back to their house. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And the Lord Jesus is walking with them. They don't recognize him. He made as though he would have gone further. They come to the house. He keeps on walking. And what do they say? They constrained him. Abide with us. It means to do a thing by force. To really entreat someone. In other words, they constrained him. Please don't leave. You know, our heart's been burning within us. Don't go. Please come into our home. Well, were they serious? Of course they were serious. That's what the Lord wanted to hear them say. And that's what he wants from you. He wants you to sincerely, from your heart, meaning it. Lord, this is the day. I'm all done, just pleasing me. This is the day. I turn, I bow the knee. I open my heart's door to you. Lord, come in. Close the door behind you. Be mine. Be mine. Be everything to me. That's what he wants. What does he want? Very simple, isn't it? That's what he wants from you. And we have a petition. What a lovely petition. What a lovely thing in the Bible. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Isn't that beautiful? There's salvation. That's salvation. I've seen people like that in gospel meetings. They're not leaving. They are not leaving the room. They're not going home. No. In their heart they're saying, Lord, you've spoken to me tonight. I'm so grateful. I've been so careless and carefree. Oh, you spoke to me. Lord, I'm not leaving until you bless me. I want to be saved tonight. I don't really understand. But, oh Lord, I want to be saved tonight, and I'm not going anywhere until I am. That's the place God seeks to bring us all to. Oh, that's the most wonderful time in a period in a person's life, is that moment of salvation. Repentance, what a sweet emotion is repentance from the heart. Nothing sweeter. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. In Hosea 12 and 4 it says, he made supplication unto him. He wept. Jacob is now weeping and making supplication unto God. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And that's the purpose of the preaching of the gospel, is to evoke that petition from your heart, Godward. And there's a position that you must take, of course, isn't there? How could Jacob have the blessing, a blessing from God, a name change, and all these things that happened to him, unless he took a certain position first? And what is that? And he said to him, what is thy name? Isn't that a strange thing? They're wrestling. Day's breaking. The angel says, let me go. He says, no, I won't let you go until thou bless me. So you do want the blessing. I'm so happy you do. Now tell me your name. That's like the lady at the well, isn't it? In John chapter 4. The Lord says, he reveals to her, I'm the living water. You drink of me. You come to me. You'll never thirst, my dear lady. And she said, oh, give me this water I want to drink. He looks at her and he says, go call her husband. What did that have to do with anything? Well, it's a matter of sin. I have to come as a sinner. I have to understand that I have no goodness in myself. I'm no better than anybody else. Now, he's referring back to the time. See, the word Jacob, what is thy name? He said Jacob. Jacob means deceiver. Sinner. He brought him back to Genesis 27 when he lied to his father when he was asked the same question. Isaac said, who art thou, my son? Father can't see very well. He's disguised as his brother Esau. He's making his voice sound like Esau, trying to. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. He lied to him. That's why the angel said, what is your name? Tell me your name. Are you going to repent? Are you really, truly going to repent right now and let go of the controls of your life and give them to me? Are you? Then we'll talk about the great problem you have in your life. Thus far you've been running away from it. It's a matter of your sin. Are you willing to let go of your sin and acknowledge, I have sinned. That is what he's saying here to Jacob. What is thy name? Lord, my name is Sinner. I don't have. Whatever the lowest name is on the denominator of names, mine's at the bottom. Lord, I'm at the bottom. That's what I am. God's pleased. Luke 5:8, Simon Peter fell down at Jesus' knees saying, I am a sinful man, O Lord. The publican, Luke 18:13, God be merciful to me. The word is the sinner. That's the place God wanted to bring him to. That's the place we all have to get to. The position. That's why he said, go call thy husband to that woman. She had five husbands, and the man she was living with wasn't her husband. The Lord Jesus knew all about her and loved her so. Knows all about you and loves you so. Longs to you to come. So we have a wonderful proclamation. Wonderful proclamation. The angel says, now, thy name shall be no more called Jacob, but Israel, a prince of God. For as a prince hast thou power with God, with men, and hast prevailed, exalted. And that is the proclamation God proclaims to everyone who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. I now exalt you. I lift you, the word in Colossians 1 as I translated. I'm going to translate you now. Out of this kingdom of darkness, which looks oh so pretty, does it not? This world. How about when the sun goes down? Not so pretty as it was going on, but God sees. God says, I'm going to translate you out of the kingdom of darkness. And I'm going to place you in the kingdom of my dear Son. That's what I'm going to do. And you're not a sinner. You're not a sinner in my eyes anymore. You're a saint. That's what you are. You're a son. You're a daughter. You're mine. You're my child. You are a Christian. You belong to my Son. What a wonderful proclamation. That's the proclamation he wants to make this morning concerning you. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. So David, or John's writing in 1 John 3:1. He says, he's so overwhelmed with the love of God for him. He says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called children, is the word of God. Children of God. What love is that? And he blessed him there. I love that, and I know you do too, if you're a Christian. And he blessed him there, right there. And that's where he wants to bless you this morning, right where you're seated. He'll bless you. And time just about gone. Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, face of God. For I've seen God face to face. My life is preserved. And God wants this to be your Peniel this morning. And they lift up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. I seen God face to face. He wants you to see him by faith. He wants you to see his face this morning. There's a famous statue in church in Copenhagen, Denmark. I don't know the name of it, but it doesn't matter. I understand it's a beautiful depiction of the moral glories and the beauty captured in a sculpture of our Lord Jesus Christ, as this man is thinking how he might have looked. But it's there. And people come to see it. It's listed on the things to see in Denmark. This theologian is there. He doesn't know the Savior. He knows about the Savior. He hasn't been enlightened with the truth. And he's looking at this statue. He's walking around it. And this little girl could see him. And he looked disappointed. And she was right. He was. He didn't see any beauty in that. So the little girl, this is what she said to him. Sir, you must get very close to him. You must kneel down to him at his feet and view him, the Christ, from below. Then you'll see his beauty. And he did. And you'll never see his beauty. Never. unless you're willing to do that. And that's a moment you won't regret. You'll never regret that. And finally, we have a peculiar, well, two things. A peculiar walk. From this encounter, from this wrestling, he had a peculiar walk, didn't he? He halted upon his thigh. He never walked the same again. And the lesson is, you will never walk the same again if you leave this room, this house of God, with Christ in your heart. You'll never walk the same again. The word halt there means to lean to one side more than another. So, all your life you've been leaning this way. Sin, me. When you leave, a Christian, we favor one side more than the other side, and we walk with a halt as well. We lean towards God. We lean towards His blessed book, which we grow to love more and more each day, and Him. And a pathway of purpose. Wouldn't you love that purpose in your life? And how does it end? It ends so sweetly. And the sun rose upon him. I mean, the sun rose upon everything. The sun rose upon everybody. But what did God say? Someone was just saved. Someone was just born again is the picture. And the sun shone upon that one, as though he or she was the only one. Brand new beginning. That's what God wants to give you. Thanks for coming. May God bless you. Father, we give thanks for the gospel, the pictures in the Old Testament, the lovely Savior, the long-suffering of our great God. We give thanks to Thee. Bless Thy word. We acknowledge we have no sufficiency, Father, none. It is all of Thee. Bless, Father. Open eyes of understanding if by chance there are any in our little company who have been toying with Thy Son and what He went through by toying with Thy salvation. May this be made clear to them and may it end this morning. May it end in salvation. We ask it in His name for His honor and glory, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Number 348, please. Zach, could you please check, give me the signal if we're ready, please. Number 348, as Brother Wade just made so clear, we're not seeking to make anybody religious. Far from that. We're not seeking to encourage people to try to do better. This is a person. We're seeking to introduce you to this glorious Savior who paid the full price in debt of our sins to put them away forever and ever and ever. God commanded men and women, and children, everywhere to repent. It's a command. We must turn from self and sin to Him. Number 348, verses 1, 3, and 5. 1, 3, 5.
Jesus is standing in Pilate's hall, friendless, forsaken, betrayed by all. Hearken, what meaneth the sudden call? what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Natural you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, choose him whate'er betide. Vainly you struggle from him to fight. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Natural you cannot be. Heart will be asking, what will he do with me? Jesus, I give thee my heart today. Jesus, I'll follow thee all the way. Gladly so paying thee, will you say, this will I do with Jesus. What will you do with Jesus? Natural you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will you do?
Food is ready. Let's bow and give our great God thanks. Our mighty God, our loving Father, we thank Thee, we praise Thee for such a wonderful Savior. We thank Thee, our Father, for the privilege of being able to choose for Him. Help us, our Father. Help us to be strong and to say no to sin and self, and to turn and to say yes to our risen Lord Jesus. We thank Thee, our Father, for the message from Thy Word. We thank Thee, our Father, for the food downstairs. Thou hast provided us with all that we need. Everything good comes from Thy hand. We give You praise. We give You thanks. We bow before You in the wonderful, wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah, if we could please all go on down and get started together, that would be a big help. So, okay, the food is hot.